This episode of The Fetish Show could be sponsored by you. We are looking for sponsors. If you are interested, get in touch with our Fetish Show team at info@thefetishshow.com. In this episode, we talk about the winners of the tagline contest, Buck Angel, a victory in the BDSM community, and legal advice from The Fetish Show legal advisor, Taylor. Coming up next.
The Fetish Show brings you the latest in alternative photography, modeling, art, and fetish lifestyle. Your host is renowned fetish photographer and BDSM mentor, Dirk Hooper. He is joined by professional dominatrix, Princess Zoe. And now, here's Dirk.
Hey, welcome to The Fetish Show. My name is Dirk Hooper, and I'm joined, as always, by the voluptuous Princess Zoe. How you doing, Zoe?
I'm doing great. How are you, Mr. Hooper?
I'm doing fantastic. We've got some things that people have reported into us from our last episode where we talked safety with Captain Thomas.
Oh, yeah?
Did you know that?
No. Tell me.
Well, we've got a FetLife group, which is, amazingly, it's named The Fetish Show.
Wow,
can
really?
Can you believe that?
No, I cannot believe that.
It's spectacular. So, whoever came up with that name was really on point. We got all kinds of discussion going on that particular episode, because I always, you know, post the episode and talk about, you know, whatever it was in that deal, and hopefully we get some comments. Well, we got comments this time around. Apparently, Captain Thomas was a big hit on there, and we got some comments on our site on that actual episode too. And so I just want to say that Captain Thomas was a big hit.
He's a big hit.
Yeah.
Hey, well, tell us, what are some of these comments?
Oh, I mean, you're catching me. I mean, I didn't really prepare.
Oh, like, well, then you can
like
go
a statement.
To FetLife, to the Fetish Show group,
right,
and read some of these.
Let me just paraphrase everyone by saying that they thought that the interview was informative and entertaining.
Well, good, because it was.
So I think that we need to get Captain Thomas back on here sometime.
I mean,
he doesn't live around here, but we can definitely hook up with him sometime and, you know, get him to hang out with us again, which is fun.
We can make that happen.
Yeah, good deal.
So, Captain Thomas, you're invited back.
Absolutely. Well, we got a lot of stuff to cover here. This podcast is going to be about 18 hours long.
Wow.
So I hope that you guys are ready. I hope you have good download rates on your computer. It's going to take a while to download this.
Okay. Here we go.
We have a winner for our tagline contest, which started quite some time ago. How long ago did we start that?
Just like 2 months ago.
What started basically is me just tweeting out a message and saying, hey, you know, you got an idea for a Fetish Show tagline, turned into a big deal.
Well, that's because it was your idea, I'm sure.
We got messages sent to my email address, to Twitter, again to the FetLife group. We got a bunch of responses there. We got responses all over the place.
We even had one text in, so yeah, any form of
texted in, or if people saw us, they grabbed us. It's like, I got another idea.
Email. So
if they knew us, you know, they got in on that. So, without further ado,
let's get on with it.
Let's talk about our third place phrases.
All right.
Now, our third place phrases, the winners get an 11x14 print of Princess Zoe, taken by me. Signed in numbers.
Yes, signed.
Signed and numbered, not numbers. Signed in numbers.
Well, tell us what they are.
All right, here they are. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
We just talked about him.
Huh? Oh, yes, yes.
From Captain Thomas, suck my cock, cocksucker.
One of my personal
Hard to believe,
favorites.
Right? Also,
third runner up.
Also, third place. We have five of these. I don't get pissed off when I get pissed on.
I love that.
Which is by Crazy Ray at FetLife. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Crazy.
It's okay to beg.
I like that one.
We got that from the Couch Pirates.
Thank you, Couch Pirates.
Get Your Kink On by the lovely Lexa Lusty.
Wow.
Thank you. From Twitter. And finally, Fetish is a three-letter word, Zoe, by Master Paladin.
Thank you for that one.
Those are our third place winners. All of those people will receive an 11 by 14 print.
Awesome.
All right. We have two second place winners. The first, I guess, the runners up.
In no particular order.
If the person in first place cannot fulfill their duties, then these people will be called on to do so. The first phrase is, what you do behind closed doors is our business. And that was from Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
And also, Live Free, Kink Hard by Exile Jayden from Twitter.
Awesome.
That's Xilejayden on Twitter.
On Twitter.
So what that leaves us with is our number one first place winning tagline.
Drum roll, please.
Who wins a fabulous t-shirt with this phrase, and also
hopefully in your size,
and also the number one print, the 11 by 14.
Awesome.
And Princess Zoe offered to buy you like coffee or something, I think.
Well, if you're in my area, I will definitely spend some time with you, take you to coffee or lunch or something.
There you go.
Like that.
So the award-winning phrase is Tune In, Turn On, Kink Out by January Grace. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yay.
So we will be producing t-shirts with that.
That's our new
And she will get it.
Tagline.
So congratulations to all of the people who entered this contest. And we will be doing our best to get in touch with you here in the next few days, but we're kind of busy, so don't freak out if we don't get in touch with you before you hear this. Please.
Well, I would like to say
we don't have a staff of millions around here, okay? Lay off. I'm serious.
What the hell?
Go to hell.
Damn.
So no, give us some time. We'll get you goodies, I promise.
Shit. No, it's up your ass.
Everyone's up my ass. That's the point.
You have a big ass. I have some honorable mentions that I would just like to mention that entered our tagline contest. Some that were near and dear to my heart were, whatever the hell I'm trying to say.
We're really on target tonight.
Dominated by Royalty by Master Paladin. Zoe Just Felt Me Up by Mia Moore. I Only Have One Fetish, Zoe by Warren. Zoe Is My Fetish by Warren. I Got Spanked by Princess Zoe by Mia Moore. And Zoe Make Us Some Shirts by Candy. I think that was just a request. However, I do realize
I see a pattern to these honorable mentions.
Yes, they all have to do with me. So thank you for all the personal Zoe taglines. I love them.
And thanks to everyone. We appreciate you guys participating. And I promise you, given the response that we got on this, this won't be our last contest. So we'd like to encourage everyone to get to us there.
That's right.
And the information about Captain Thomas that talked about them leaving us comments on our FetLife group and the comments that we have on our actual page on thefetishshow.com. And obviously all of the stuff that we just got here, we want to encourage you to communicate with us. We want to hear from you. We want to hear questions. If you've got some ideas or you're listening to this episode and you want to tell us something, then we want to hear from you.
Comments, ideas, questions.
If you have something, you can send it directly to me, which is Dirk, D-I-R-K, at thefetishshow.com. You can also leave comments on our actual website. Under the comments section, you can also find us on FetLife, The Fetish Show.
Or you can send it to Zoe at thefetishshow.com. Or we even have a phone number that you could call and leave it on there, too.
We certainly do. It is 1-888-506-0221. And because we have to say it twice, by law, it's 1-888-506-0221. That's a voicemail hotline. No one will answer the phone. You can call up and talk to us at your heart's content. You don't have to worry about us like berating you about something or having to talk to some stupid operator or whatever. You just do your thing.
All right. Now what?
Well, now what is Buck Angel's coming to town?
Yes, he is. I am so excited about that. I'm a big fan. In case y'all didn't know.
Clearly you're a big fan. In fact, you're the reason why Buck Angel's coming here. You were working on him over the last, year, trying to get him down here, up here, I guess.
I had to beg, steal, and borrow a little bit. However, he is coming.
You worked on his wife. You worked on him. You worked on whatever it would take.
I'm not sure you should be mentioning that, okay, Dirk? All right.
I'm just saying. there was a lot of arm twisting here.
So, tell us about Buck Angel coming to town.
All right. Well, the event is called Buck Angel at Angles. And it's sponsored by, who else? The Fetish Show. We're sponsoring it.
Yes, we are.
How cool is that?
That is so way fucking cool.
It's going to be on September 24th, 2011. Just in case you're listening to this like 10 years from now. It starts at 11 p.m. It's going to be at Angles at 2117 Northwest 39th Street in Oklahoma City. And tickets at the door are only $10.
That's a deal.
$10 for Buck Angel.
And we have some awesome project managers helping us put that together.
We do. Alpha Boy Nate.
Yes.
And Mia Moore are rocking the shit out of this.
Yes, they are working their little asses off, and we thank them.
Yes. That's awesome. They're doing a great job on that. And there's going to be some lead-up performances. Those have not gelled yet. But if you're interested, please drop by thefetishshow.com. There will always be additional information there.
Buck Angel will be out there that night performing and signing...
signing autographs and...
yes, saying hello to his...
selling goodies.
Selling goodies. And we will be there as well.
Yes,
and
we will.
I will be there.
Yes.
So come say hi to us.
Right.
We should also mention, coming to town, along with Buck Angel, is a famous piercing artist who will be piercing, taking appointments, and she will be piercing at the...
23rd Street Body Piercing.
That's right. And her name is...
Elaine Angel.
Yes, it is. So you have to catch her,
who's too. A favorite on the show as well.
Yes, she is.
They're traveling together.
Yes, they are.
Which is pretty cool. And I've heard that Buck wants an interview to talk about something.
I hope so.
He's got something to talk about.
I can't imagine.
And of course, if he's got something to talk about, we want to hear it.
Hell yes.
So we'll be talking to Buck while he's here. Of course.
I hope so.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yes.
So again, there will be more information on thefetishshow.com. Like I said, we got a lot to talk about here. We've been pushing this hard. We're going to push it hard again because it's still not here yet. Evolution of the Revolution 2 in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
That is a Nancy Ava Miller favorite, I believe.
Right, a production.
Something
an
like
event.
That.
It's going to be at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino Friday, September 16th and Saturday the 17th, 2011.
And we will be there.
We will be there. As a matter of fact, we're already on the list of activities. Did
on
you know
the
that?
Bucket. Yes, we will be covering.
We've got a meet and greet at about, I think it's 6 p.m. on Friday.
Yes.
We'll be in Albuquerque.
We'll be there.
And we will meet and we will greet you.
Yes, we will. Well, I'll meet you. Dirk will greet you.
You won't believe how I greet people.
Okie dokie, cowboy.
So they've got a cocktail party. And by the way, their party, I believe their play party is in like some sort of golf country club thing.
What?
I know.
I didn't know about that.
It's like apparently cool. Some fancy place that's secluded. So it's not like down in some hot ass dungeon thing or something. It's like going to be in a really nice location that is secluded, but also pretty upscale. So I'm looking forward to that.
This whole event's supposed to be 5-star. That's right up my alley.
I like that. It's good stuff. So anyway, cocktail parties, leather, fetish, and toy vendors, the Leather Library, which I can't wait to go check out. They're going to have workshops, play parties, lavish food.
And we will be the viable media source covering that event.
And more.
Yes.
And more.
Meeting and greeting.
if you're interested in this, please go to www.NewMexicoFetLifers.com.
They're also on FetLife.
Of course, everyone's on FetLife.
I'm on FetLife.
Yes, you are. All right. One final thing to cover here.
Yes.
I've got an art show coming up.
Yes, you do. I'm
so
proud of you.
It's a solo art show. It's called Candy Chrome. It's October 7th, 2011. It starts October 7th. That's opening night. It's in Kansas City, Missouri. I believe it starts at 7 o'clock. It's at the MRP Gallery. It's my first American solo show in over 5 years.
Wow, what the hell have you been doing?
Well, I've been doing solo shows in other countries.
Yes, you have.
And I've been doing a lot of group shows, which are a blast, but it's different to do your own show. And this is the first time I've done this in a while.
And these guys are great, too. They're some big supporters of Mr. Hooper. And I think this is going to be a really good show.
And these are the coolest people on the planet, really. They treated both of us really well the last time or two that we've been out there. We appreciate that. So anyway, it's going to be an official fetish show appearance. We're talking about kind of some unique ways to cover this event. And I don't think I'm going to go any more into that until we know for sure. But we may be covering it in ways that we haven't before.
Wow.
That's all I can say.
Princess Zoe will be there making an appearance.
Yep.
Not just as part of the fetish show, but she will also be there in her own glory.
In her own glory.
Because not to overshadow the famous Dirk Hooper, but still.
There will be music, food, hot models.
I'm going for the models.
One hot is not enough because some of these fetish models will be showing up. There will also be bondage demonstrations, which is pretty cool. And if you're interested in this.
And I'm sure you are.
Updates will be on DirkHooper.com. Is my website.
Go there frequently. Look for updates on that and more.
That's it. We're going now to the Fetish Show News.
This is Princess Zoe, and you're listening to your dominant source for fetish news, events, reviews, advice, and interviews. This is The Fetish Show.
So this is the Fetish Show News. Welcome to it. First up tonight, from KSDK Channel 5 in St. Louis, a bondage club will soon be moving into an old warehouse on Gravure. The city of St. Louis unanimously approved a zoning permit Tuesday for Joe Kriegsman to open a social club he calls Clan of the Barbarian in Benton Park West. Both the neighborhood association and the alderman who represents the area were against the club because they say Kriegsman turned discretion into deception by originally telling neighbors he was opening a construction business. News Channel 5 asked Kriegsman in July what he had planned for his social club, quote, just about every type of kink you can think of. We like to have here and teach people how to do it safely, he said. If you were interested in getting into the lifestyle, you could come to our classes, learn things from our classes, the safe way to play, and then come here to the dungeon area and practice or play what you just learned, unquote. He added that they will not be hosting sex parties. There's no word yet on when the social club will open.
Isn't this a follow-up?
So this is a follow-up. We talked about this, I believe, an episode or two ago. Mm-hmm. And this is a victory. This is a huge victory.
Yes, fighting City Hall.
Not just for Kriegsman, mm-hmm. but for basically the BDSM community. I mean, this is out in the open. He went to the city council and got this approved. This is precedent.
We did make contact, and I do believe he is interested in giving us an interview. We need to get that arranged. And you know what else would be really cool, Dirk, is if we maybe would be invited or could cover the opening of this club. That would be really cool. What do you think about that?
Well, we have no idea. It doesn't say when it's opening and stuff, and our dance card is booked for the next couple of months. But
I meant we can make
with that said, it would be awesome to go to that and maybe do a show or
I think we should try to cover that. I think maybe we can make that happen.
Yeah, because, I mean, this is a huge victory for the BDSM community. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
For standing up to City Hall and making this thing happen. This
and
is huge.
And for winning, you won.
Absolutely. It would have been very easy to open up a place and do it under the radar, which is what most people do.
Sure.
But he went right straight to City Hall and basically said, you guys don't have any rules against this, so you really don't have any way to deny.
I like it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I like it a lot.
So congratulations. That's a victory. That's one for the good guys.
Yes, it is.
All right. Up next, here's not one for the good guys. From the UK Daily Mail, the Chancellor of the University of Northern Virginia exposed as a sadomasochistic sex dungeon master following a school raid by federal immigration agents last month, has submitted his resignation. David Lee, 64, was revealed as a man so into domination and sadomasochism that he and his girlfriend turned their basement into a suburban sex dungeon. He claimed in his letter of resignation that, quote, discussions of my personal life have become a distraction for students and friends of UNVA at a time when we need to focus on more significant issues, unquote. According to his letter, Lee's resignation was effective on Friday. On July 28th, the for-profit school was raided by immigration authorities, seizing computers and documents and leaving a population of approximately 2,000 mostly Indian students in limbo. The smoking gun found that the personal ad after the raid, complete with photos of his dungeon and Lee performing sadomasochistic acts on a website called CollarMe.com, which describes itself as the largest BDSM community on the planet. The ad sought, quote, attractive, submissive women who wish to be part of our poly family, unquote. Ideally, you will consider yourself a slave or a sub with slave tendencies, it added, continuing, we enjoy almost all kinks and are expert in most of them, but for us, it is more the submission and commitment that matter. We provide a safe, sane home with a good balance of love and discipline. We are very serious about finding a permanent addition to our poly family. They use the screen name. I'm not even going to say this. According to the smoking gun, the ICE probe is examining whether UNVA, was founded in 1998, has exploited visa loopholes to enroll foreign students. Investigations are seeking to determine whether some students attended classes or just used enrollment in UNVA as a method of gaining entry into the United States.
What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's ridiculous. This was an ICE matter. It never should have made it to the public. But even if it did make it to the public, are you telling me this guy has sex with his wife in his own home, and for that, he has to resign?
I think it's ridiculous. I'm sorry that he had to resign or felt like he had to or was put in a position to. Obviously, this has nothing to do with his professional job. So,
no, and what the fuck is ICE putting this information out to the public for?
Well, how could a...
There's no connection whatsoever. They wanted to discredit this guy for some reason. And guess what? You fuckers, it worked.
Yes, that's
congratulations.
Too bad. That's too bad.
To our oppressive government.
Well, and another thing is, it's how can you use UNVA as a method of gaining entry into the United States? To gain entry into the United States, there is a process, and it's
well.
Not,
I guess they said that they had a lot of Indian students. I guess if you have a student visa, that you can come over here, and you know, once you're here, you're here. They don't really follow up on that sort of stuff.
But that's
on ICE.
But that's a process. That's like
maybe they should do their job instead of trying to smear people. How about that?
Yes.
So, you know, if there's any question about whether practicing BDSM can make you lose your job, in this case, it certainly can.
Well, he resigned. So
I'm sure he didn't resign just for the hell of it.
Well, I mean, that does
indicate. Anytime that you're in a position of power, they always say, you can either resign or we can fire you.
However, it is, it does imply it was something he chose to do. And I do understand that sometimes that choice.
If he wants a job someplace, he probably has to choose resignation.
I understand, but still, he wasn't fired. And but I understand they put pressure on you, and you have no choice but to choose to resign.
Pretty much.
And not laughing that he had to resign, just that anyway.
I think this is outrageous.
I do too.
And I think obviously there's a lot of reasons why people use, you know, pseudonyms in the BDSM community. And I'd say in a lot of cases, that's a pretty good idea.
Well.
Despite the fact that it's 2011 and you should be able to do whatever in the hell you want in your own bedroom.
Well, you would think for
with consenting adults.
That much time and effort of an investigation, it would turn up something criminal.
Right.
Or there would be some other kind of something going
right.
on besides
you,
some BDSM
you
activity.
You notice that there's nothing else in here, including ICE violations that they even talk about.
Well,
there's nothing.
There's not. So why did they waste all the time and energy to investigate somebody's bedroom play? How stupid.
Right. It's outrageous.
Get a job.
So, also in the same vein, from the Miami Herald, Sean Loftus worked as a substitute teacher for the Miami-Dade School District until a principal discovered his body of work. Quote, almost every day the schools would fight over me, said Loftus, who holds a master's in public administration from the University of Miami. Quote, it was very rare that they had a sub, that's a substitute teacher, with a master's degree. Loftus, 36, enjoyed teaching so much that he earned the credentials needed to become a full-time teacher, he said. But he was fired in March after school administrators learned that there were nude pictures of him on the web. At an administrative hearing, Loftus was told he violated a school board rule that states employees must, quote, conduct themselves, both in their employment and in the community, in a manner that will reflect credit upon themselves and the school system, unquote. Loftus, who created the World of Men film series, said the firing was unjust. Quote, people think that just because you're involved in some sex industry that you also molest children, he said. That was the last thing I thought about. I went into those schools to give those kids a great education. Loftus plans to return to the adult film industry.
Well, this is unfortunate. However, I do know that when you are a teacher or in certain positions that you may hold, that there are clauses or there are rules that say you have to also conduct yourself in the community as a upstanding individual who won't discredit themselves or the school district by anything that you may do in your private life. So that is a commonality. That's a common practice.
It's a moral turpitude clause.
Right.
And I think that it's bullshit.
Well, I think that it is too. However, I think that there is some parents that would not want their kindergarten teacher to also be a porn star for whatever reason. However, there's some that would probably like that. I don't think it has anything to do or any bearing on a person's abilities to teach and give a child an education. So, anyway.
There you go. All right. Up next, for the first time ever, the Fetish Show Advisor with the Fetish Show legal expert, Taylor.
This is awesome. It's going to be an awesome thing you guys are about to hear.
It's a great deal. Yeah. So buckle in. Here it comes.
The Fetish Show feature presentation.
All right. We got something different for you today. We're going to talk to Taylor, who is the official Fetish Show legal consultant.
Yes, he is.
Or he doesn't want us to call him this, but we may call him the legal expert.
He can be one and yet the same.
I like that.
I do too.
Master of all things legal.
Yes, he is. He's an attorney, an Oklahoma attorney.
Right.
And he has some very good, wise, and information about the law from an attorney.
Yeah, that's
pretty
cool.
Can give us that, yeah.
So, Taylor, welcome to the Fetish Show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here. And I don't know how wise any of this is going to be, but we'll see what we can do.
It's wiser than not. knowing.
Well, I promise you the people that are talking in these BDSM forums are not talking to lawyers. So we're definitely one step above most of the conversations that are going on out there.
I think it's very important to know, especially right now with some things that are going on, some court cases, some things that are being brought out into the legal system, that BDSM is going to be more in the spotlight. And I think that knowing what the laws are about certain issues are very important. Instead of just fucking guessing, God dang it. Guessing what the law is.
We're going to talk a little bit about BDSM, but we're also going to talk about sex and pornography.
And drugs and rock and roll.
So get ready for that.
All right.
All right. Well, let's talk about the evolution of crimes against nature.
Well, it all goes back to the Puritan days when we were, you know, very pure and simple.
You mean yesterday?
Is this the roots of BDSM or the prejudice against it? Exactly. Why do we want to know that?
Well, it goes to show that even though the BDSM community may not be considered mainstream at this point, that, you know, how far we've come. I mean, and some very important things that show you that. You know, I can even use some Oklahoma examples that I think are really important that show this. You know, Oklahoma is not known for being first in a lot of things, but in 1890, Oklahoma was the first state to make a criminal code that made an explicit for married couples to be able to be criminally prosecuted for marital sodomy.
What the hell's wrong with these people? I don't want nobody to have no damn fun.
1935, Oklahoma again, first appellate court case in the nation that said cunnilingus is a crime against nature.
What is that?
Oral sex on a woman.
Cunnilingus?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was like, what? It's like a woman's right to suffrage. What? I don't want that.
Oh, my God.
I'm kidding. I do want to. I'm just kidding. I didn't understand.
Wow.
So, I mean, these things keep evolving. And in the 80s, we start seeing some changes, but the big case in 1986 was Bowers versus Hardwick, United States Supreme Court case that basically upheld a sodomy law that was geared towards homosexuals. So it was still
only,
a crime.
Only gay people can't fuck each other in the ass? What if, why? Everyone else can, but not them?
Well, it has to do with how some smart lawyers like to develop cases. They like to pick cases that are going to have the best chance of prevailing. Mm-hmm. So the lawyers that picked this case to take the United States Supreme Court thought, well, that's a little bit juicy. That'll make a good case, good story.
Right, so if it was a married heterosexual couple, then it might not have had as much traction.
Correct, and apparently in 1986, it still didn't have any traction.
Okay, all right.
But come 2003, there was a Texas case out of Lawrence versus Texas, again, challenging the same-sex sodomy laws. Turned out that a neighbor didn't like what his neighbors were doing. He called the police, filed a false police report. Police officer goes in there with cause, and they get arrested and charged with sodomy. You know, in this case, it
please bust in while you're fucking your boyfriend in the ass. What the hell?
And finally, the United States Supreme Court recognized what people have been saying for a long time, that the Bowers Court was wrong and that there is a no legitimate state interest which can justify its intrusion into the personal and private life of the individual.
Hell, right. Yes, I agree.
That's a good ruling. I like that.
And it's this case, a lot of this case, you know, the justice who wrote the decision focused on casting doubt on the factual findings of the court that had previously said it was okay to basically discriminate against same-sex sodomy because they said homosexual sodomy is widely and historically condemned, is what they said in Bowers.
Is sodomy illegal?
Sodomy is no longer considered illegal.
Is sodomy fun?
That's a good question.
What's the legal answer on that?
So, but this court case where they said that, you know, homosexual sodomy is a widely historically condemned practice, cast a whole doubt on that, is the part of the decision that's opened up the door for the BDSM community to expand and become accepted, opened up the door for gay marriage. It's opened up the door that says if you have a law that you're not going to enforce on one group of people, how do you enforce it on another group of people?
Exactly.
That's
which
bullshit.
Is the way it's supposed to be, of course.
That's just bullshit.
Right.
It's people that don't like gay people.
Right.
Y'all can't fuck each other in the ass, but you marry people, y'all can. That's wrong. In some my opinion, us. That's my opinion.
So that's basically where we're at right now, is that some of this old stuff is being overturned, I guess, because of this ruling?
Correct. This ruling is actually the Lawrence versus Texas case actually struck down 14 states'
wow.
sodomy laws at once, including
really?
Oklahoma.
Wow.
That's
wow.
a lot.
Because 14 other states had similar sodomy laws that criminalized sodomy.
These are people that's been prosecuted criminally for that. I mean, as far as not associated with maybe rape or anything
Amazing.
Or child abuse, is there like people that just, y'all would just fuck and y'all gonna go down?
I think it's been a lot like the adultery laws. Adultery is still a crime,
right.
Okay, I see.
Right.
But it's not a widely prosecuted crime. The district attorney in any state or the federal prosecutor has discretion. Do I really want to do this? That's why
let's put you in jail where you can go fucking ass all the time.
Go get a girlfriend in jail.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I want to ask you about BDSM and legality, as far as, do you know of any reason that BDSM would be considered illegal in the state of Oklahoma?
Well, it borders very closely on battery.
Right, and that was going to be my next question about that.
Because the battery is an unwanted touching of someone. Well, BDSM is completely consensual.
Well, can you just briefly describe assault and battery and tell us the difference?
Assault is the imminent fear of a battery.
Right, it's not the actual contact.
There's no actual contact right. with assault. Battery is any unwanted touching.
Right.
You know, when you know, we're kids and you know you tease your brother and, Mom, he's touching me. That's a battery.
The battery is the actual
physical contact.
Right.
The physical contact. Any unwanted physical contact.
Right.
So, you know, there's an Oklahoma case that we've talked about briefly before right. where the husband hurt his wife.
Mm-hmm.
The husband said it was part of a BDSM. The wife said, no, it was not. And now she's recanted.
Mm-hmm.
So there's obviously some sort of emotional component, either fear that something will happen to her husband, so she's recanted, or there's something going on as to why her story changes.
That's a domestic violence case. In my opinion, it's really that's a criminal domestic violence case, and the BDSM being interjected into it's just convoluting the whole situation. It's not about a BDSM, because BDSM is not about abuse. Abuse is abuse. BDSM is BDSM, which is not abuse.
In the eyes of the court, wouldn't you look at the testimony or the information that you gained at the time of the incident, and not so much what's happened 6 months or a year or 2 years after?
Well, all evidence is going to be looked at, and it's the weight given to each piece. Generally, evidence that's accumulated closer in time to the event is considered more reliable.
Can you use a slavery contract?
Well, a contract to do something illegal is an invalid contract.
Exactly. Slavery is illegal.
So if you enter into a BDSM contract, we have this BDSM relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I was allowed to hit her. Well, the problem with the contract is your intent when you sign the contract.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a fine line. When does that line change into something else? And they can blur from one line to the other.
Dirk, what is your view about when something is abusive and when something is BDSM?
I think, yeah, it's consent. I mean, it has to be consent. If you don't consent to it, then it's abuse.
Well, maybe sometimes there are things that people, just because you're in a BDSM relationship and I get my nose broke, that's doesn't have a damn thing to do with what BDSM is about. So people that don't realize what it is could be misled, could not understand. And I don't want people to have the wrong perception about what it is. It's not about hurting somebody else to the point that they're abused. Anyway.
Are you saying through an accident something happens?
On purpose.
You're saying that something happens on purpose. And even if somebody, they consent to it?
Well, who's going to consent to that? And I'm just saying that you can't...
People consent to some pretty hardcore stuff.
Well, you cannot consent, even if they do. You know right from wrong, and you know the law.
Right.
You know it's legal or not. Even if you want me to break your legs... I'm sorry, I can't do that because it's illegal.
That's why it's safe, sane, and consensual. Not just safe, not just consensual, but also sane, which means that you can't cut someone's dick off, for example,
and eat it. You could.
How about that one?
But you'd be...
You can't do a Hannibal Lecter on someone, even if they want you to, because that's not sane.
Well, what do you think of that, Taylor? What do you think about eating someone's dick?
I would think that sounds pretty...
Are you out on that? What's the legal thought on eating someone's dick?
If they want you to and have a contract.
You know, I'm going to have to pass on the legal conclusion on that one. All I know is that you're not going to catch me anywhere near that.
I told a story about someone who contacted me as a photographer for Toxic Goddess, and he wanted us to fry him up and eat him. And he said he would sign a contract that, you know, would show that it was okay, you know, for us to do that.
Could he eat him? We had a contract.
And of course I told him that it wasn't legal whether he signed off, you know, there's rights to do that or not. But some people,
like,
I guess, don't understand that.
I'm sorry.
Did he taste like chicken? Is that what you said?
I wonder if he tastes like chicken.
I think he probably tastes like pork.
So I think that probably what we should really consider as it pertains to us and us practicing or whatever with BDSM is know what's right and fucking wrong when it comes to treating somebody else a certain way. Abuse is abuse. BDSM is not abuse. And it's not assault.
Well, and you have to know what the hell you're doing.
Well, even if you don't... You don't get mad and hit
someone. If you don't know what you're doing, then don't do it. You need to get some education for things.
Oh, okay.
Well,
I'm teasing,
I mean,
as I'm joking about that.
Right, no, I understand. But, you know, ropes can be a wonderful thing, or they can, you know, they can hurt you. So you have to know what you're doing.
What if someone, Taylor, accidentally gets hurt in the practice of BDSM play and... say they tie their partner up, and I don't mean to giggle about that, but it very well has and could happen. What's the best thing to do in a situation like this whenever people are going to be inquiring or investigating as to, is this some sort of assault? Is it wise just to tell authorities, well, this is the nature of our relationship, she likes me to tie her up?
That's a little bit outside a lot of what I do. I mean, I have a strong belief that, you know, there's a Fifth Amendment right not to incriminate yourself, and the Miranda right says you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you. There's nothing in that right that says what you say will be used to help you.
Oh, that's definitely true. Mm.
So there's always risk in trying to be helpful, because you can say something that you're trying to be helpful and can be misinterpreted. I mean, it's easy. Law enforcement, they're human. A lot of law enforcement have no idea what's going on, so they will see it as abuse. So you have to be careful, and you can sit there and say, I want to talk to my lawyer.
That's very, very good advice.
And the first
thing, quiet until you know what to say.
First thing you do is ask them if you're in custody, if you're free to go. If you're not free to go, you're in custody, and you have a right to a lawyer. If you're free to go, get up and leave.
I agree with this situation. If you don't know how to answer, just be quiet until you talk to legal counsel.
Yeah, keep your mouth shut.
Tell us a little bit about porn.
Just in general. What do you like? What are you into?
How do you like that transition?
That's wonderful.
You like
that is wonderful. That is really, that's first class reporterage.
Hey, you know how I can go on and on. I just have to get off the damn subject and
I think that's good. I'm behind it.
Well, pornography is protected by the First Amendment, freedom of speech.
Yay.
Completely protected, unless it's obscene.
Oh,
right.
What is the hell is pornography then?
Well, it's fun. It's nice to watch. Nothing wrong with
it. As long as it can't be obscene.
But there is obscene pornography. Child pornography, bestiality, and things
right.
like that.
All right.
And there are three things that they tend to look for that what pornography is. You know, this has been the standard since 1973.
I'm so sorry.
You know, First Amendment rights, 1973, three things. One is depictions or descriptions of sexual conduct which are patently offensive as found by the average person applying contemporary community standards.
Okay.
So you want to tell me what that means?
If everybody else don't want you to be doing it and they get together and say no.
I can strike down almost everything with that alone, because with the internet now, it's ubiquitous throughout all households, and the porn industry pulls in about $10 to $20 billion.
Exactly. And with that Lawrence versus Texas case in 2003, where they're bleeding the lines of what is historically viewed a certain way, that definition is very quickly getting very loose.
Right.
Isn't there something also to say that to classify something as pornography, it has to have no educational, no creativity value to it.
Artistic merit? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I'm not an attorney. I'm trying to...
That's considered one of the third... The third prong is something that a reasonable person would find the material lacks serious literary, artistic, educational, political, scientific, you know, purpose or value.
So I think that's probably the core of what pornography... You could say pornography is this. It has no educational, no creative... No other than sexual value, sexual excitement value.
Why do you think the acting is so bad in porn? That's the artistic value.
Oh. Okay. I was learning it, so I thought it was education.
So once again, what are the three prongs?
The second prong is the dominant theme has to appeal to the purient interest in sex.
Huh?
You know, as found by the average person applying contemporary standards. So
it has to be identified as sexual.
Yes. So one, it's patently offensive as viewed, the easiest way to put it is viewed by the reasonable person. One is it's sexual. The reasonable person is going to think it's sexual.
Okay.
And then third, obscene material lacks literary, artistic, educational, political, scientific purpose or value.
Oh, obscene. That falls under obscene. I thought that was porn. I'm confused.
And if it lacks one of those pieces, it is not obscene. So if it's not patently offensive, it's not obscene, even if it has no literary or artistic or educational value.
Okay.
Can just a picture of you naked be pornography?
Of me, yes.
Or do you have to be doing something?
It's and a picture of me naked would probably be obscene, too.
I don't think so at all. He's not a troll, you guys. if you're married, can you videotape yourself? I know you can. Videotape yourself having sex with your spouse and take this video footage and produce it and sell it on the internet, say, or to Texas.
Well, it depends on if it's obscene. Because any person that writes, composes, creates, distributes, paints, molds, anything that you can do into something that's obscene, including download on a computer, which with the internet is really probably putting a lot of Oklahomans in a lot of criminal jeopardy.
Sure.
Is can be guilty in Oklahoma of a felony in prison for not less than 30 days or up to 10 years. And if you have two or more obscene materials, you are classified by default as a distributor of obscene materials.
You.
So you mentioned bestiality and child porn. Does BDSM fall into that too?
I don't think BDSM has not got a solid definition in most states at this point.
Okay.
What about the state of New York? I believe it falls under prostitution.
Well, BDSM, I think that's when there's the exchange of money.
Right, but what about films or whatever?
Films,
video,
it hasn't.
Photography.
Films, it hasn't been yet, simply because they're going to apply this three-prong test.
Mm-hmm. I've had several questions sent to me by people asking questions about doing video. And the thing that I always advise people is, whatever it is you do, find out what the law is. I don't know exactly, But I do suggest that you do not distribute until you know exactly what you're doing, because once you cross state lines with something, I don't know, maybe you're looking at something federal. I believe if you're going to produce your own video of you having sex with your partner and sell it, you should probably check with somebody first to see what you need to do legally.
Certainly. Obscenity laws in every state are going to be slightly different, and they're even going to have slightly different variations of this three-prong test. So you have to, if you're going to do it, if you do something and you live in Oklahoma and you put it in Oklahoma, it's going to be a very different standard than California.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the porn industry is so big in California.
That's
they
exactly
have different
right.
community standards.
Mr. Severe said that, yes.
Yeah, we just heard that there are only two places where it's actually legal to film porn, and California is one of those places.
Is it illegal to film porn here?
I assume that Oklahoma is not the second place.
I would assume, yeah. Given Oklahoma is a conservative state,
yeah,
it's not going to be...
The reddest of the red.
Yeah, it's going to be viewed as patently offensive to the community.
Mm-hmm.
What if I want to open a dungeon? What are there legalities that maybe I should think about or look into if I want to... open a private or at my home have a private dungeon or commercially?
I think at your home is going to be obviously very different because right. there's no exchange of money.
Some people do exchange money at their home sometimes. There's some professional dominatrix who do have spaces at their homes.
Well, I think that's bringing a bit, that's more like a home business. So okay. it's still, I'm saying at home, I'm saying just your personal play space,
right?
Where you might play, others might play, but there's never an exchange of money,
right?
Okay, I don't know if there's going to be a big issue with that, because that's where you're getting back to the issue: is it an assault and battery, or is it fully consensual? What harm is caused by that? If your neighbors get upset, you very well likely, you know, have a knock on the door by the police officers or sheriff, or depending on where you're living. And you may have an issue, depending on where you live, depending on how the local laws are.
I can't see if anything illegal about owning a dungeon. A dungeon is a facility or a place. How in itself, could it be illegal or not? It's just a...
That's going to go into how the prostitution laws are viewed, and if there are specific laws on the books for BDSM.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think Oklahoma at this point has laws specifically for BDSM. But they have prostitution laws,
mm-hmm.
which deal with various sexual acts
mm-hmm.
that you can't do. They have sexual conduct that says you cannot have sexual conduct in exchange for money.
Such as?
Well, sexual conduct is anything which is normal or perverted by the statutes and the cases.
Fucking Oklahoma law. It's so vague, but I do like that. It's subject to interpretation.
The vagueness, you know, helps because it makes it overly, arguably overbroad.
I just today tweeted out some Roman philosopher that, and I'm going to tear up his quote, but basically it is the more corrupt the government, the more vague and numerous the laws.
I don't know about that. But I don't know. I have to think
we got a lot of laws.
I have to ponder that one. But
and
I know
a lot of them are very... vague.
A lot of them are stupid, but I tend to like the Oklahoma laws in that they are vague and subject to interpretation. It's the state of New York, they're very defined.
Let me go back to what we were talking about just a minute ago. You're talking specifically about having a dungeon like for a professional dominatrix. I think that in a lot of cases, people are going to be having maybe a dungeon that would be like a club where you would have people come in, you would charge them like either a monthly fee or maybe, you know, you're going to charge them for an evening to come in and play. Would that be different in that case than...
No, I just want to have it and leave it set there with nobody go in it. What difference does it make? See, what I'm saying is it legal or not to have just a dungeon? Running the business, I think, is a separate part of it, right?
I know, but he answered the question in reference to, like, a professional dominatrix. In this case, what I'm asking is, if you have a dungeon and you're going to have, like, a club where individuals are going to come in and play in the dungeon, is that legal or not?
Well, I think something to keep in mind, Oklahoma statutes also make lewdness illegal.
So what is lewdness? That's
another darn good question. That's not
public
readily
lewdness
defined.
Or just lewdness in general.
Lewdness in general.
Lewd?
So what is lewd?
So wait a minute. In your house, if you are, and I don't know what the definition of lewd is.
What about the man fucking his picnic table?
Yes, we did talk about that. So you're saying that if you're in your home and you commit a lewd act, that's illegal?
I think the statute in Oklahoma is defined as in exchange for profit.
Okay.
There's something in exchange of value for it.
Okay. So,
money, entry fee.
To come in and do a lewd act.
And so that you're allowing or facilitating a lewd act.
That could be a possibility that someone say you're doing lewd acts there.
So what is a lewd act?
Depends on what your community says it is.
It's
a member of a jury of your 12 peers.
Okay.
So in Oklahoma, you probably don't want to find out.
What if it were not for profit? You're exchanging the money, but it's like a charity.
But you've still exchanged money.
Okay. All right.
I think that's going to be the kicker that's going to get you.
All right.
What if there's no money but a whole lot of fucking going on?
Sounds like a fun orgy.
Yeah.
But legally.
So let's say that Bill Gates moves to town and he's into BDSM and he's got billions of dollars. He opens up a dungeon. He doesn't charge you a dime to come in. Is that legal?
Well,
it's stupid, but.
It's probably not going to happen, but.
Using some of the language in Lawrence versus Texas, if the state can justify no legitimate state interest to get into your personal business,
yes,
it would be legal.
So it's like a private dungeon because there's no money exchanging hands.
Our friend fighting City Hall.
So have to be able to justify, the government has to be able to justify a legitimate interest. That's right. Why strip clubs are not within 1,000 feet in Oklahoma, a elementary school or a church, because that's a legitimate interest.
Yes, it is. And I think that's some things that we can think about. If you don't know, and the laws aren't necessarily so defined, there are some things I think you can do. Keep in mind is stay so many feet from a church or a school. Don't do things in areas where there's a lot of children or churches or nuns or things like that, where people generally aren't going to accept you or what you're doing. Just protect yourself in ways that if people are coming, if you open a facility and people are coming there, you want to be very sure that you make it clear publicly that certain things are not okay in this facility. Make it open and written down. There's no lewd acts here. Regardless of what the fuck goes on, and I think you need to write it down that you do not subscribe to that. I think that there's some things, other things that you can do too, as far as checking with an attorney, knowing what running a brothel means. Do you know what that means? Because I don't exactly know, but it doesn't mean like what it sounds like.
It doesn't mean what it sounds like, but and I could pull the statute and look, but it's essentially the facilitator for the lewd acts.
Yeah,
or the prostitution, lewd acts, or there's a third prong, and I can't remember what that is off the top of my head.
A lot of dungeons end up in warehouse districts for exactly the reason that you're talking about.
Right.
You're away from your churches and schools. You're away from, you know, people just driving by late at night. If 20 or 30 people, you know, get together in a warehouse district, no one's around to see it.
Right.
You know, and if you're kind of underground like that, you usually don't, get any sort of problems like that.
If no one sees the act, is it lewd or not?
I don't know. If a lewd act falls in the forest, hear it? Or
yes, you can.
Is it illegal?
If you're far enough out, your community could be the only people committing the lewd act.
Right.
I mean, if you're 20 miles from nowhere and there's 20 people in that 20 miles, if that's
right.
Your definition,
there's your
of community.
That's an interesting thought. So we need to create a city that's just full of kinky people, and so your community is 100% kinky. How about that?
Yeah, there's a place like that. It's called Hedonism in Jamaica.
Well, there you go. That's good stuff.
Taylor, what else you got to tell us?
I don't know if I've got a lot else to cover with you today. I mean, if anybody has any questions, they can always send them in, and I'll try to do answers for them, and, you know, particular on Oklahoma law. But I'll look at other jurisdictions or some national trends if you want.
We have a lot of national and even international listeners. They're going to be very fascinated by Oklahoma law, of course. But I think that I think that in many cases what we're probably at the, you know, the more conservative end of the spectrum. So
like
if it
all the way over.
So you know, by using Oklahoma as a test, you're pretty much going to know that, you know, every place else is going to be probably lower in, you know, statutes and stuff.
Well, I agree that this is the Bible Belt. People are very conservative
here.
This
is the buckle of the Bible Belt.
So, I think with that in mind, just be aware. And I think we should have Taylor on maybe frequently to talk about some of these things, because they seem to be coming up more and more in the news. Everywhere I look, seems to be more of a need for this type of knowledge.
All right, Taylor, would you mind coming back sometime if we have some questions for you?
I'd be glad to give it a shot. I've enjoyed it today.
All right, that's awesome. Well, if you have any questions for Taylor, then please send them to me, Dirk. That's D-I-R-K at thefetishshow.com. And we will definitely have another session with you. Thank you for being with us, Taylor.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Buck Angel. And Dirk Hooper said, you better listen to The Fetish Show.
Thanks to Taylor, our BDSM legal expert.
He is a legal expert.
He doesn't want to take that title, but I like giving out titles. And so we're giving it to him. He's our legal expert.
I do believe that we're also going to ask him to be on our board of advisors. We're building a board of advisors for the Fetish Show of professional individuals in the community. And I believe Taylor, the attorney, will be on that list as well.
Right.
What do you think about that?
I think that Taylor, after we got through talking to him, got really excited about this, and he went back to the legal cave and started doing some research. So he's ready for the next round. But even if he doesn't dig up something, we want to invite you to maybe throw some legal questions at us.
Yes.
So that we can get Taylor back on here. We'll have a little segment with him from time to time. If you're interested, you have a question, a legal question of whatever. It doesn't have to be, you know, it can be anywhere in the United States or whatever. You can look this stuff up.
Right.
Send it to us. It's not binding. We are not, we're not saying to go to court on our advice and stuff, but we'll give you maybe a little bit of background on this sort of thing.
Yes, we will put up a disclaimer that...
Yes. Do not take legal advice from us. Go to your own damn attorney. But we're going to give you the overview of this stuff so that maybe you know kind of where you stand. In any case, email me directly, Dirk, D-I-R-K, at thefetishshow.com, or you can also send us questions through our toll-free hotline, which is 1-888-506-0221.
Again?
That's 1-888-506-0221.
Or you can contact me, Zoe, at The Fetish Show. And thank you, Taylor.
You just get pictures of dicks.
I do.
I mean, let's be honest.
I would like some pictures of some boobies, too. That would be nice. But Taylor, thank you so much. You know what? He's a great personality.
He's a good guy.
Fun to work with. Yeah. Too. So we're going to have him on as much as we can.
We do appreciate that. So yes. Yeah, send us some stuff in and we'll pass it on to him. Yes. And we'll get a decent answer for you. Your board of advisors, you want to talk any more about that, or you just want to just put that out in the ether?
Well, I'm looking to build a board of advisors for The Fetish Show that are of licensed professionals,
right?
So we would love to have a psychologist. We would love to have a couple of attorneys.
We know a few.
A judge would be nice. Maybe a chief of police. Let's see, some other professionals that
we've had some people on this show that would qualify for everything you're talking about there.
Yes, we have.
But yeah, I mean, just kind of a group of people to give us some advice and kind of...
keep us on the straight and narrow.
Yeah, so that we stay informative.
Yes.
To everyone, and so that we know what we're doing.
Well, we want to be...
Have some wisdom.
We want to be credible, and we want to make sure that we're always headed down the right path, and we definitely are a viable news source, and with that comes the responsibility of keeping things... legal. And
you know, just like Shazam had that council of elders.
What the fuck? Shazam.
Just like Luke Skywalker had Yoda. The Fetish Show needs a council of advisors.
Yes, we do. Because we can't be all things all rolled into one.
No,
ourselves
we absolutely
personally.
Can't. And let me also say, just to be really vague, we've got a lot of crazy shit coming up.
We are growing, guys. We are really, I'm telling you, we've got some awesome followers. We're getting some stuff.
We are not just a radio program, folks. I promise you.
And we definitely
hold on.
We definitely
for the ride.
Need, let me say also, we definitely need your support. And we have gotten some support lately from some computer IT guys. We're getting some stuff donated to us, some recording studio time. We're
getting some media experts.
We will take services. We will take money. We will take your services if you have them to donate.
We're
equipment.
We're gearing up a news division.
We're having a computer built for us. Especially, whatever I'm trying to say, especially.
We're going to be creating some events and making more appearances and making things happen.
Yes, we are.
We got exciting stuff coming up.
Yes,
I promise you.
Yes, we do.
Just wait.
Just hang on. We'll give you a rundown of that before too long.
Yep, absolutely. There's more coming.
Yes, more, better, bigger, faster.
All right. Well, we want to thank everyone for listening to us. We've told you about some of the things as far as getting in touch with us earlier, but we also want to add that we have a Facebook, The Fetish Show, right? You can
yes.
get in touch with us there. Both of us are on Facebook.
Yes, we are.
I'm Dirk.Hooper, and Princess Zoe is The Princess Zoe. On FetLife, I'm The Dream King.
I'm The Princess Zoe.
No, you're just Princess Zoe.
Oh, okay. Something like that.
I don't want you to get confused with someone else.
No.
On Twitter, I am at Dirk Hooper, and Princess Zoe is at The Princess Zoe. See how that comes in?
Yes, I do.
And you guys need to call us two more times. Our number is 1-888-506-0221. That's 1-888-506-0221. Leave us some stuff. We'll play it on the show.
Anybody does screen printing, t-shirts, we need that.
We do need
that.
And we need some graphic design, I might add, too.
Yes, we do.
Since we're doing the wanted ads now. Do you have anything else to add, Zoe?
I'm good.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to The Fetish Show. For Princess Zoe, this is Dirk Hooper saying, dream hard.
Thanks for listening to The Fetish Show. We're always looking for interviews with models, artists, and BDSM lifestyle leaders, as well as information about events and products. For more information, check out thefetishshow.com. Contact Dirk Hooper directly by emailing Dirk@thefetishshow.com.